I knew a philosophical drunk once, who offered nuggets of what he called wisdom after tossing back his fourth cocktail, oblivious to the nuances of relevance or reception. Occasionally, that meant bastardizing dead celebrities like John Lennon or Oscar Wilde, insisting life was what happened when you were busy making plans, or that real friends stab you in the front. Usually, it was more like listening to a grown man slur his way through a small batch of Hallmark cards. During one of his less inspired rants, he told me that home was a place you grew up wanting to leave and grew old wanting to get back to. It was a tidy, trite platitude that had stuck in my craw for years, if only because it lacked perspective. After all, shouldn't that depend on what you were leaving behind? Not to mention what you'd be going home to? Take me, for instance. The last two times I'd left Boston, I'd done so of my own free will, first trading in a grey winter's morning for a balmy Scottish coast, then again for a cottage made of candy in a storybook realm, where gravity was negotiable, colours had a smell, and children were considered edible unless proven otherwise. And yet, in neither instance had I thought to be gone for particularly long, or at least no longer than I had to be. Despite everything, Boston had always been my refuge, my sanctuary from a mad and callous world. Indeed, I knew Boston so well, it was like it belonged to me, and me alone, as if the entire city was my sandbox, and everyone else played in it at my leisure. Of course, a large part of that could be attributed to the hubris that comes with living anywhere long enough to call it home, but the rest was bloody well earned, a bevy of hard-won insights that I'd accumulated over decades. When I was younger, that meant knowing which venues had the laxest security, or which highways to avoid during rush hour, or which happy hours to take advantage of. In time, it meant knowing which logos to wear and when, which neighbourhoods were heavily patrolled and why, and even which lowlifes to contact and how. For years now, I felt I knew Boston better than the back of my hand because the term skin deep simply didn't apply. I could trace the city's bones. Hell, I could map its very veins. Or at least, I used to be able to. Unfortunately, without a watch to account for hopping between such obscenely different time zones over a span that I'd barely been able to track, it seemed my late arrival had bypassed fashionable and gone straight to dickish. Metaphorically speaking, I wasn't the girl showing up as the appetizers hit the table so much as the girl banging on the door of a dark, empty restaurant begging to be let in. Actually, it was worse than that. I was the shell-shocked girl, gaping at the newly erected bowling alley where the restaurant used to be. Because that's what happens when you're gone for 18 freaking months. A year and a half. That's how long I'd been away. A fact I'd discovered perhaps an hour after Charon, the boatman of the River Styx, dropped me off along an abandoned stretch of dock outside Boston Harbour just after sunrise. Of course, the hoary bastard was long gone by then. He'd zipped away in the fancy magical ship I'd procured for him in exchange for the ride and my contraband goods, saluting me with a beer as though he knew precisely what fresh hell awaited me. But then, I suppose he was the expert. Still, I'd have to pick a bone with him later. On that note, do you have any idea what all gets taken away from you when you've been essentially missing for a year and 6 months? Especially if you have no immediate family to speak of. Spoiler alert, it's shit you'll want back. Like your apartment, for example, or all your worldly possessions, or your freaking life. I had to admit, though, none of that bothered me as much as the fact that the Tobin Bridge had finally been fixed, or that they'd added two new metro stops to the Orange Line, or that we'd lost several dynastic football players to bullshit free agency. Basically, the fact that my city had somehow survived my absence. Of course, you know what they say about reality. She can be a real bitch sometimes. Take my choice of accessories, for example. In the afterlife, toting around a spear with enough juice to redefine a landscape would have earned me some respect. In Boston, it was far more likely to earn me a deadly weapons charge. Mercifully, I had enough wherewithal to shove Air Advar into the collapsible guitar gig bag I'd stolen from under the nose of a leering store clerk not long after arriving. Not my proudest moment, obviously, but I could handle a little shame.